Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Tomorrow, our high school football roundtable. We're looking forward to that. Friday, Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, will join us. Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle. That's Friday's show. Kevin sent me a text showing him at the top of the press box last week. It's what, Central Mountain?
Yeah, one of the fans sent me sent Dave and I the photo of the pregame show from the view from the sidelines of our view high atop the 50-yard line.
Okay, you want to know what high atop means?
Sure, tell me.
Okay, why don't you try it, Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe or Ohio State? Okay, now you're high.
We called it football al fresco.
Fun. It was a beautiful night Friday.
It didn't rain. That was the important part. At least during the broadcast.
Well, there you go. We have the usual daily Kevin Herr memo. Insert sponsor here. So I feel like your memo should be sponsored. Here is the Herr memo of the day. It does start out with Cameron Hayward. It always has to start out with some sort of
That's not true. That's not. I knew you were going to do that. That's not true.
Where it just becomes an obsessive thing. And, you know, here's a solution. If the Steelers would just stop breaking the rules, they wouldn't be fined.
Stupid fine. Stupid rule.
Money goes to charity. I completely agree with you. I do agree with you.
I really don't care what somebody puts on their eye black underneath their mask where I really can't see it anyway, unless the TV director decides to send one of his cameramen on a super extreme close-up. I mean, really.
Which they did.
And actually, I saw it, and I couldn't quite tell what it was, and then I happened to think, oh, I know what it is, because it wasn't on the screen very long.
Right. So he gets fined for it. The issue is, if you, as a league, you say yes to this, you say yes to that, now all of a sudden you've got everybody writing stuff on their shoes, doing stuff with their eye black, or are they going to wear armband, you know. So I think they figure by saying no and reining it all in, they have control over what's going on. I suppose that's the league's stance.
I do understand that. I mean, they're making it, they're making no gray area. It's like, listen, you can't write anything anywhere, period. All right. That's the way you want to handle it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I'm sure they can tell him there are other ways of getting the message out, I suppose. But, yeah, he's trying to honor his father, and it's stupid you get fined for honoring your father. I do agree with that. I agree with you completely on that.
But it is a violation of the rule as it's written. I agree. Yeah. I agree with that as well.
And if the Steelers would stop violating the rules, then we wouldn't have these issues now, would we?
There hasn't been many rule violations this year.
Not so far. The season's young for James Harrison.
Yeah. Ah, there you go. Wonder when the James Harrison dig was coming.
Actually been more under control since he came back.
He's been playing actually well.
Oh, yeah. No, I see the Pro Bowl in his future. All right.
I so hope he gets to the Pro Bowl now.
He won't.
No. Okay. I know.
Matt Cassel is said to be the Cowboys starter when they return from the bye week. What makes a guy who just came into the system better than what they had? Well, we're not at practice, so I don't know. Number two, They probably feel that Castle has a better feel for what they're doing as opposed to Whedon. You know, fewer mistakes. Probably it comes down to mistakes. Opportunity to fewer mistakes. Michael Vick is a totally different quarterback than most in the NFL. Always has been. Most NFL offenses are a homogenized look, where you can take a lot of quarterbacks and insert them into a system because, guess what, there may be terminology differences, but for the most part, on the surface, doesn't it look like everybody runs the same thing? It's not like going into a college system where we try to run a play every 15 seconds, or we run option, or we run veer, or we run pro style, or we want run West Coast, whatever. College has so many different offenses. You're about to see one this week in the Army offense. In the NFL, it's not quite like that. Something tells me, except for terminology, there are probably several things that are very similar between what Matt Castle ran in New England to what he ran in Kansas City to what he ran in Minnesota to what he's about to run now in Dallas. I mean, you got to figure they're going to get something out of somebody, so they're going to do this. What makes a guy into the system? Like I said, they're all really. Who's running it? I mean, who's running a different system in the NFL? Who? Anybody?
Well, I mean, here's a guy that's been running everything about your system. I mean, well, we looked at what we talked about with the Steelers. The Steelers
system is a different animal,
right?
To a point. I mean, to a point, it's different from Michael Vick. Michael Vick's always had an offense that was designed around how he, with his legs and how he runs. There are a lot of quarterbacks you can get out there you can bring. They could have brought Brian Hoyer in there, which they did a couple of years ago. I mean, Bill recommended Brian Hoyer to the Steelers. Right? He could come in there and run that offense as to what they do. But Vick doesn't really run that kind of way. I mean, a lot of what Michael Vick does is a little bit different than everybody else. He actually is a different kind of guy to bring into something like that. Let's see.
By the way, Brandon Wheaton was reported to have not taken it well.
Well, I don't blame him. He's not the one giving up points either. Which teams are you liking game fives today and why? Let's see. In Toronto, Texas, the home team has not won a game in the series.
That does not bode well for the home team.
Well, there's an old saying in baseball, Kev. Momentum is tied to who your starting pitcher is. I expect Cole Hamels to pitch well. I think Toronto gets to the Texas bullpen and wins.
Do you feel Cole Hamels is a money-on-the-table kind of pitcher?
Always. World Series MVP, the whole thing. I expect him to pitch very, very well today.
I mean, I do, but I'm biased, so...
Well, we know you're biased, but Cole Hamels is a really good pitcher when things are tight. I mean, really good. And I think he'll pitch really well today. I think Toronto, though, will get to the Texas bullpen, and that's how they'll win it. Houston and Kansas City. My gut tells me Houston's going to win it. That's only a gut. No real big reason why.
By the way, Texas up 1-0 right now, top of the first.
There you go. Cubs upset Cardinals 3-1. Match up better with LA or New York?
All right, thanks.
The way they're hitting the ball right now, really.
Well, that's my point. Who has the better pitching, Los Angeles or New York, compared to the way the Cubs are hitting the ball?
Well, Greinke and Kershaw, and the Mets have a depth of starting pitching. The key is which bullpen, the Dodgers bullpen is substandard.
See, I personally believe this, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I think the Cubs really have a better matchup with the Dodgers because this series is going deep and the Dodgers aren't going to be able to be as selective with their pitchers early in this Cub, in a Cub series in the NLCS.
I don't know what day the thing starts. What day does it start?
I knew you were going to ask that. Games. Let me look.
I'm going to guess it starts Saturday.
I'm going to look here. Hold on.
My guess is it starts Saturday.
The National League Championship Series,
I think, starts Saturday, right?
Will begin for the ALCS on Friday the 16th and Saturday the 17th for the NLCS.
There you go. We didn't need you to look it up.
No. I should have known.
Lester would start game one. Arrieta would start game two for the Cubs. Or you can flip them. It doesn't really matter. I think it would matter that Arrieta pitched Monday. So Arrieta would pitch game one. Lester can pitch game two. The Dodgers would have to make a decision whether to come back with Clayton Kershaw on short rest. But they can't pitch Greinke until game three. But that also means Greinke would be their game seven starter. They could pitch Kershaw in 1 and 5 and pitch Greinke in 3 and 7. There you go. You're all set.
By the way, back on October 4th, Sportsline did a projection model of all 10 teams that were in the playoffs. The Rangers were a 3.2% chance to make the series. The Cubs were next to last at 6.7.
They're both still alive.
The Cardinals, 16.7, had the second best percentage to make the series. The Royals at 22.2.
There you go. Fabulous. That excites me. Projections excite me.
I knew you'd love projections. I knew you love projections.
It excites me. It does. I do stupid things like look at matchups and things like that. I don't know why I do that.
Why? Former teammates just matched up in Toronto. Cole Hamels got the best of Ben Revere as Revere grounded out.
Probably was actually an easy matchup. Revere's actually at 300 in the postseason.
He is at 300 right now, going 0-1 today.
You know, what's interesting, Troy Tulowitzki's hitting 6th today.
Batting .118.
Yeah, not great.
Not great. Not good. Goins is worse, good. Though. Goins is worse. He's Ofer.
Well, so's Mitch Moreland. And Moreland has a ton of postseason experience. Very good.
Moreland is batting in the 5 slot. He's Ofer. Fielder is batting 118, but he has the RBI today. As it appears as though DeShields got on in the leadoff slot and Fielder knocked him in.
Yeah, well, the fielder's choice. All right. I think they have the roof closed today, too. So, at Rogers Center. Wind listed at 0. Something tells me it's 0.
Yeah, that'd be my guess then, yeah. Doesn't take a genius to figure that one out.
Yeah. So there you are. There's that. Penn State, Ohio State coming up on Saturday. Todd McShay says the Buckeyes should not be number one at this time. McShay says that I look at this team and he basically says that there are other teams that he thinks are better than they are right now as to what they're doing. He said, they don't belong when you start to compare the resumes and what they've done and how they've played. That's what McShay says to this point. Just what I need. A little fire up talk from Todd McShay. There we go. Couldn't have made that statement 2 weeks from now. Brian Kelly says, I'm not talking about the USC job. They play USC this week. And I'm going to miss Steve Spurrier because there was no filter.
What?
No filter on that. There's no filter on Steve Spurrier.
Well, that's true.
That's why I'm going to miss him. It's good to hear somebody who spoke his mind. I like that.
You know, he definitely told you exactly what he was thinking and didn't really pull punches.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. I also agree completely with Kirk Herbstreit in that USC needs to get away from the Pete Carroll coaching tree. Go a different direction. Right? Go a different direction. Bring in somebody else outside of that group. Enough is enough with that. They've done that with Sarkisian. They did that with Lane Kiffin. Get away from it. Get away from it. All right, now here, let me give you an interesting one. Mull this over. In the Big Ten, who's the youngest team playing right now? Who's the oldest team? We'll come back, tell you the answer in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every 42 seconds, someone purchases an F-Series truck.
Hurry to Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest
before someone gets your truck.
Now
is the best time to buy your next new Ford truck from SMC.
Choose from over 100 F-150s with savings up to 10 grand.
Sunbury Motors has close to 50 Super Duties with savings up to $11,500. What better way to impress your hunting camp than with a new Super Duty from SMC? Trucktoberfest means over 150 new F-150s and F-250s to choose from. Trucktoberfest means savings up to $11,500. Trucktoberfest means 0% financing for 60 months. Trucktoberfest means the best time to buy your next new Ford truck. And the only place to buy is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. It's Sunbury Motors Trucktoberfest. So hurry in before someone gets your truck.
Okay, so who is the oldest team in the Big Ten in terms of what they're playing right now and they're too deep, and who's the youngest? We'll start with the youngest. Who do you think the youngest is?
Youngest. Let's see. I'm going to say Purdue.
And you would say wrong.
Well, the odds were not in my favor.
It's Penn State. Penn State's playing the fewest seniors. Penn State's playing the highest number of freshmen and redshirt freshmen. And who's the oldest team of the Big Ten?
That one I was going to go to Michigan State.
Nope. Older, but they're not number one.
Not old enough.
Nope. Give you a couple more cracks.
All right. My first guess was Michigan State. Wisconsin was number two.
No.
All right. I'll take one more shot. And my one more shot was Nebraska.
No.
All right. I'm done.
What else you got?
I'm running out. Sooner, the process of elimination.
Keep going.
How about Rutgers?
No.
Maryland. I'm going to work my way east to west.
No.
I have no idea now. I honestly, those were the two that I gave you were my first two thoughts.
The oldest team of the Big Ten playing more seniors than anybody and more upperclassmen than anybody is Michigan. See, Brady Hoke recruited actually pretty well along the way. Jim Harbaugh has done a great job of organizing it, getting it to play with some motivation, some organization, and a real level. Michigan's the oldest team in the conference. How about that?
You know, they may have a shot this week.
Well, they're playing at home. I'd hope so.
That helps.
They're playing at home. Michigan State did not look that great against Rutgers last week.
No.
But You know, that series is so odd in perception, it's unbelievable. Michigan State has dominated Michigan for, what, 6 years now? And Michigan still pulls this big brother, little brother stuff. It does stick in the craw of Mark D'Antonio, and I don't blame him. They did that thing with the stake last year where they drove the stake into the ground at Michigan State, the Michigan players did. What are you doing? Last year, D'Antonio tacked on an extra touchdown deliberately, and he admits he did because he's had enough of them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'm sorry, but the polar bear thing was just too funny. Yes, if you see a polar bear, don't approach it. They will kill you.
Good safety tip.
A public message from this station and the Ad Council. All right. It's always love the staged photo they have of the polar bear floating on the ice. You know, that's staged, you know.
And there's a picture of a polar bear floating on the ice?
Yeah, that piece of ice floating out. It's like global warming.
Oh, okay. I know the one you're talking about. I'm thinking Coke commercial or something.
Right. No, it's a staged photo. It's, you know, so I've always heard, like, you know, drilling in the Arctic, you know, what's going to do the caribou? I said, you'd be shocked. There's like so much land up there. Like if they're drilling there, the caribou will go over there. You'd be stunned at how they adjust. All right.
Okay, polar bear, stay still. Hold it. Hold it right there. Okay, we got a good shot. Thank you.
It's floating on a block of ice. There's no shot. All right. Penn State is the youngest football team in the Big Ten in terms of playing the most freshmen, which would be freshmen and true freshmen, redshirt freshmen. Most sophomores than anybody else that they're playing. Meanwhile, the team that's playing the most seniors and the most upperclassmen happens to be Michigan. They're the oldest team out there playing right now. That is not in any way, shape, or form a cut of Jim Harbaugh, whom I think has done a great job at Michigan so far. I think he has taken this talent. He has been able to develop a winning attitude there. He has organized them in such a way, and he's looked at his talent, and he's found a formula that allows them to have success and to win. That's what a really good coach does. But if you think he is doing this with... But the point of it is, if you think he's doing this with this group of kids, look how he's molded this group of kids. He's just, you know, Michigan out of nowhere. Look how they've come on because he's... No, he's taken a veteran team, which they are, a veteran team, and he's getting the most out of it. Great for him. I mean, that's a tremendous job by him because the same group of guys was not performing at this level a year ago at Michigan. At the other end of the spectrum, look at Penn State. Look at the number of guys this year with firsts in their career. First interception, Carl Nassib leads the nation with 10. Now, he's a senior. And a junior, Yvonne Walker, first fumble recovery. Now, look at the other guys. John Reed, 2 interceptions, true freshman. Manny Bowen, fumble recovery, true freshman. Troy Reeder, true freshman. Jason Kabinda, true freshman. First career touchdown, Nick Scott, redshirt freshman. I said Kabinda's a sophomore. Sorry about that. Kabinda's a sophomore. Nick Scott, first career touchdown, redshirt freshman. Mark Allen, first career touchdown, redshirt freshman. Saquon Barkley, first career touchdown, true freshman. DeAndre Tompkins, first career touchdown, redshirt freshman. Mike Gesicki, first career touchdown, sophomore. I mean, these are the guys. I mean, Blacknall had a 100-yard receiving game, sophomore. Godwin's a sophomore. Hamilton, we think Hamilton's been there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Well, he's a redshirt sophomore. Brandon Polk, first career rushing touchdown, first career receiving touchdown, true freshman. The guys that are achieving the first on this team are almost all freshmen, redshirt freshmen, or sophomores. That's who's making the plays. Grant Haley, second career interception. He had one last year. He ran back for a touchdown. True sophomore. John Reed, two interceptions. All right. True freshman. Torrence Brown, first career sack, redshirt freshman. Curtis Cothran, second career sack. He had one last year against UMass. Redshirt sophomore. First career sack, Antoine White, redshirt freshman. These guys are all playing. We think of Andrew Nelson as this, you know, we've got to get Nelson back in there, get that veteran presence in there. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's a redshirt sophomore. What, he missed 3 weeks? 3 weeks, 4 weeks? He missed 3 weeks, right? Yeah, 3 weeks he missed. Actually, halfway through, he's missed 4 weeks. So Nelson in his career is about to make his 16th career start this week. Yet he's the like the old man of the line with Angelo Mangiero. That's how young these guys are. First career field goal, redshirt freshman Joe Julius. First career field goal, redshirt sophomore Tyler Davis. That's how young they are. Now, that brings with it growing pains, but it also brings with it a level of excitement that they're going to grow together. Now, this five-game homestand came at a perfect time for them. It allowed them to play at home in front of their crowd, feel that kind of support, achieve some success, gain some confidence. And now they're going to go to a place that a lot of people don't want to go to. Let's go to Columbus and play Ohio State. But it's a great opportunity. You can't have the you can't do something a lot of people don't think you can do unless you have the opportunity to do it. Well, they have the opportunity to do it, just like Bucknell has that chance going to Army this week. Great opportunity for them. That's why when I talked to Joe Susan an hour ago, that's what we talked about, the great opportunity at hand. That things go your way and fall right, you can win it. And matchups mean a lot in a game like this. I mean, the matchups are going to mean a tremendous amount. And there are a couple of matchups that obviously I think have a chance to favor Ohio State, but there are a couple of matchups that really favor Penn State. Ohio State is really, really good. Ohio State is not invincible. They're really, really good, but that's one thing when you start looking at tape, you start looking at analytics, you start combining the two together, you see a couple things. Number one, you see that, yes, they are really, really good. But at the same time, you also see that, you know, they are also vulnerable in a couple of areas. This is what they do very well. Elliott is not only great with the football, Elliott is probably the best running back in college football without the ball. You watch him block as a lead blocker. You watch him in pass protection. You watch him as a receiver. Really, really good. Braxton Miller. You know, this guy is the former Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. They're trying to get him, if they can, 10 touches a game in some form or another. They're not quite there yet. But they do try to get him 10 touches a game on the average, if they can. Really, really good. Obviously, Miller brings an elusiveness, a toughness. Cardale Jones is a big man playing quarterback with a big arm. And this will be, of all the teams Penn State has faced so far, this is the one team they have faced so far that has a consistent and wants to use it, a vertical threat. They want to use it as a vertical threat. And he does that. Now, when they get to the red zone, that's when they bring JT Barrett in. Now, just so you know, a college coach's definition of a red zone is absolutely different than what the stats say a red zone is. We all think of the red zone as what? 20-yard line and in. Yes. College coaches all consider the red zone to be the 25 and in. Okay? Why? You can do this. You can do this.
Wait. Why do they consider it the 25?
Why are college coaches 25 and why?
I couldn't tell you.
Where's overtime? Where is overtime?
I don't remember in college. I get my college and high school confused. Is college at the 25 or 30?
25.
Okay, sorry. Too many games, too many rule changes.
Okay. Very quickly.
Just give me that one, will you please? Just give me that one.
College coaches consider the red zone 25 and in. Then I said, where does overtime take place? And you said the 30. I want to just...
Like, just give me that one. I overthought it, okay? It should not surprise you at this point.
And we've just explained the show in a nutshell.
Should not surprise you at this point.
Okay. But that's why. That's why when you see Barrett come in, and it's because in other words, if you see him come in at the 25-yard line on Saturday night, that's the reason why. That's the red zone to college coaches. Okay? On both sides. Bob Shoup has always told me he considers it, you know, the 25 and vice versa on offense. And he runs it really well. Like, the field gets shorter. There are certain pass patterns, for example, that Ohio State likes to run with Cardale Jones in there. You can't run from 25 yards in. You can't run them. So you change quarterbacks. I mean, a guy that's – Jones runs to run. Barrett on design runs is outstanding. On design runs, he is outstanding. I mean, the two overtimes last year with Penn State were each overtime – I shouldn't say each overtime did begin at the 25. Actually, it was one of the overtimes that began at the 12.5. But Barrett – cracked off a couple of big runs, and then he scored the game winner, and that was big. And that's become, and this is not foreign to Urban Meyer. He did this at Florida, you know. Maybe not from the 25 in, but at Florida, he had Chris Leak and Tim Tebow together when Tebow was a true freshman, and when he got inside, I don't know, let's say the 15 yard line or so, he would take Leak out and he put Tebow in. Tebow made a couple of big plays in the national championship game, the first national championship game, where he had a jump pass and then he ran one in. He played really, really well. But he was the red zone quarterback. They are now incorporating that same look now with JT Barrett. You're going to miss Devin Smith in this offense and Evan Spencer for a lot of reasons. Devin Smith was the home run threat at wide receiver every team loves to have. He was a 25 to 30 yard a catch guy, literally. Spencer did all the dirty work that you would love to have any wide receiver do. He was an outstanding blocker off that edge on bubble screens and things like that. And he was just a tough guy over the middle. The other guy they really miss is Jeff Heuerman, who got drafted by the Vikings, I believe. You watch what they do with tight ends now. Vanette has always been a good receiving tight end. But when they wanted to use some blocking schemes and so forth, they actually use more of Marcus Baugh now, number 85, than they do Vanette. Because Heuerman, you could keep in Heuerman every single play because Heuerman could catch the ball. Not a lot, but they, you know, they throw it to him once in a while. Heuerman was just a really good blocker. You throw his nose in there. He's one of the absolutely underrated. He was to the Ohio State offense the last 2 years, what Heath Miller's been to the Steeler offense for years. That tight end, that H-back that had the ability to block, stick their nose in the hole and get somebody out of there. And Heuerman was like that. So that's a big loss, too. Defensively, they will play their corners left side, right side the entire game, Conley and Eli Apple. The safeties, though, they will flip Bell and Powell boundary to field. So depending on what side, what hash mark you're on, they'll flip the safeties. The two on the outside, they just want the guys to lock down in those corners as much as possible. And then the three linebackers, Lee, McMillan, Joshua Perry, all really, really good. Really good players. Like them a lot. Lee's really good against the pass. Good big play guy. He can get a little lost at times when they want to put seven in the box. Sometimes that happens with him. Adolphus Washington's playing great 92 at the tackle spot. Lewis has been really good on the outside. They do a couple things with Lewis, too. Sometimes they stand him up and bring him. Sometimes they put him in the down spot. And then Joey Bosa is Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa commands attention every single time he goes out there. He is really good. And the punter, Cameron Johnston, is having an unbelievable year. He's had 28 punts, 10 of them 50 yards or better. He's averaging 47.5 a punt. Really good. But you know what? The place kicker, I don't even think they know. Jack Willoughby is 6 of 9, but he's 0-3 beyond 32 yards. All six kicks are 31 and under. So I don't think they know. They don't have the scoring range that they had last year. Now, the kickoff part's pretty good. And the kickoff part, yes, they'll get some touchbacks, but Urban Meyer really likes to angle kick. And you'll notice the Ohio State kickoff only covers 2/3 of the field. They'll go from hash mark to sideline and leave the entire area from the hash mark to the other sideline wide open with nobody covering. That's because he wants to directional kick, and he wants all the lanes clogged up going in that direction. The idea is to keep you under the 25-yard line. Right now, the average drive start off a kickoff against Ohio State's the 21. So there you go. That's what the tapes tell me. We will come back, wrap things up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We want to see you in a Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia. This month at Sunbury Motors Kia is a spooktacular sales event for a limited time only.
What does a spooky deal mean?
Really, really good and spooky.
Just stop. But yes, the deals at Sunbury Motors Kia are spooky good this month. But not because of Halloween. Kia has authorized us to provide employee pricing on all models this month. Plain and simple, you pay invoice minus all factory incentives on every model we have. That means the very best deals of the year from the dealer you already know to give you great deals year-round. Big savings on the 7-passenger Sereno SUV, the agile handling and first-class features of the Sportage, and the fuel-sipping Optima. Plus, with 0% financing available and a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, these deals are scary good.
Now that's the holiday spirit.
Owning a brand new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
All Big Ten preseason basketball team is out. The ballot looks very familiar to me. These are the players that are on the all-preseason team. James Blackman of Indiana, Yogi Ferrell of Indiana, Jared Utah of Iowa, Jake Lehman of Maryland, Melo Trimble of Maryland, unanimous selection, Karis LeVert of Michigan, Denzel Valentine of Michigan State, unanimous selection, A.J. Hammonds of Purdue, unanimous selection, Nigel Hayes of Wisconsin, unanimous selection, Bronson Canning of Wisconsin. I got 9 out of 10. I did not vote for Koenig. I did vote for Brandon Taylor. You know, you have 10 names, so I wanted to put Brandon in there. And the player of the year preseason is Melo Trimble of Maryland.
By the way, a quick update on Major League Baseball's American League Divisional Series. They're in the top of the third. Texas now leads it 2-0 over Toronto in Game 5.
Well, there you go.
Going just as you said, Steve.
Well, it will go. I think Hamels will pitch really, really well. And if it gets to the bullpens, that will be the key for Toronto to win it. That and religion. No, just kidding.
Whatever it takes to get to the the LCS.
Okay. Okay. So that wraps things up. Coming up tomorrow, Kevin will tell us about overtime in college football and 4-3 defenses.
They start at the 50, right?
It could be a long show.